it tolls for thee. We are all one. No tree has branches so foolish as to fight among themselves. We're all one. Individualized expressions of the same source. Some are tall, some are short, some are dark, some are light, some are male, some are female. We're all one. Seeing the oneness. It's a grand place to get to. It's how divine masters speak and think. The fifth thing that we start to believe in with this ego is that I am not only separate from everybody else, but I'm separate from what's missing in my life. So now we start searching after what's missing in our lives. Never understanding, because we've left God out, that if we returned to God, returned to the place that we came from, we would understand and grasp this simple notion that if there's no place that the Spirit is not, then it must be in me. And if there's no place that the Spirit is not, it must also be in everything that appears to be missing from my life. It must be there too. If there's no place that it's not, that's a logical connection or conclusion. So that my being able to manifest and attract into my life what it is that I would like to have is not so much about trying to go out and find it, it's about realigning myself internally with the awareness that I'm already connected to it spiritually already. And all I have to do is summon it by connecting myself back to God. This is the mystical experience of manifestation. That you get yourself to a place where you know you're already connected to it, and you allow it by summoning it, by keeping your, and I'm going to talk about this in a CD down the road in this package, you're going to see yourself as having a desire, but never offering up to that desire anything other than that which matches it. So if you desire abundance, you never think in terms of lacks. But your ego tells you that what's not here is missing. And finally, and the most egregious of all, which is the one I quoted at the beginning, the only lack that you need correct is your belief in your separation from God. The ego believes that I'm separate from God, that God is something, God is like a cosmic bellboy. And it's this cosmic bellboy that's in the sky, and I will ask of it, because I'm separate from it, to deliver what it is that I would like. So that's what most prayer becomes, and that's what most beseeching of God becomes. It's usually a white dead male in the sky, a cosmic bellboy, you know, that I am asking favors of, and protection from, and help from, and special delivery service, FedEx, if you can do it. If you can get it overnight, it would be great. If you can get it instantaneously, it'd be wonderful. I'm willing to pay, whatever. And this belief that we are separate from God is the thing that always keeps us from being able to attract into our lives a state or a sense of inspiration. There is an organizing intelligence in the universe. There has to be. The magnificence of this universe, and I didn't even get to the plants and the animals and the other planets and the other solar systems and the other galaxies and the endless numbers of universes and the endlessness of the universe. I'm still talking about an eyeball that we can't even comprehend, let alone a universe that is endless. There's an organizing intelligence in this universe. For 9 months of your life, you totally surrendered to it and allow it to be everything that it needed to be. Then you became surrounded by and encapsulated in a system in which other people had taken on egos as well and taught you to believe in your separateness and taught you to believe in your false self. The false self is the self that believes you are what you have and what you do and your reputation. And so your separateness and your falseness became your identification. And moving into the world of spirit is a whole new ball game. It's returning to the place that you came from. There is something in the Bhagavad Gita that is so profound and so beautiful. I want to share it here with you. I'm going to use the word self S-E-L-F, the self. And it sort of summarizes all that I've been speaking about here. The self, capital S, the self, the infinite self, the authentic self, dwells in the house of the body, says Krishna, which passes through childhood, youth, and old age. So passes the self at the time of death into another body. The wise know this truth and are not deceived by it. When the senses come in contact with sense objects, they give rise to feelings of heat and cold, pleasure and pain, which come and go. Accept them calmly, as do the wise. The wise who live free from pleasure and pain are worthy of immortality. Not pierced by arrows, nor burnt by fire, affected by neither water nor wind, the self, yourself, is not a physical creature. You are not a physical creature. Not wounded, not burnt, not wetted, not dried, the self is ever and everywhere immovable and everlasting. Some there are who have realized the self in all of its wonder. Others can speak of it as wonderful, but there are many who don't understand even when they hear. Deathless is the self in every creature. Know this truth and leave all sorrows behind. Know this truth and leave all sorrows behind. That's what it means to be inspired. This is an expression of God realization. I think one of the great teachings I learned from the Kabbalah is that enlightenment is being like God. Just being like God. It's a good question to ask yourself after you have behaved in a certain way, after you've responded in a certain way to someone. Is, am I being like God? And even in my response to someone, am I being like God? And the thing is that when you allow yourself to really surrender and get to God realization more frequently, not all the time, not 100% of the time, but when you get there more frequently and when you stop yourself and correct yourself more frequently to say, am I in spirit, am I not in spirit? Because again, inspiration is not about just having a goody feeling inside, or even that a feeling that I'm on purpose. It's knowing that I'm in spirit, inspirited, inspirado. I'm connected to God. I'm connected. Everything else will take care of itself. The details will all get handled, and they'll show up in magnificent ways. The right people will show up. The right events will show up. Things will start changing right before your eyes. A little bit later on in this program, you're going to hear me talking about Patanjali's definition of inspiration and the rewards that you get for it. And one of the things that he says is you find yourself in a new and a great and a wonderful world. And I'll share with you what that new world looks like, because you do a somersault. You land and you're facing the inconceivable, the what was previously impossible for you to believe in. So what I want to do here in this section of the program is have you look at something that I'm calling quantum changes, shifts that take place in your life. One of my teachers was Carl Jung, who wrote a book back in 1952 called Modern Man in Search of a Soul. And he wrote a lot of other wonderful, powerful things. And one of his teachings was about the morning of your life, the afternoon of your life, and the evening of your life, which you can sort of divide up into like 25 and 30 year segments, if you will. But for some people, the morning of their life is over at the age of 8 or 9 or 10. And they enter into what becomes the afternoon for other people at 40. So it isn't specifically related to a particular age. It's different for all of us. But I suggest that the morning of our life, for most of us, for most of you listening to this, for most of the people that I've encountered, and even for myself, happens around 40.